The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome to you all. This is William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. My name is Sam Norris and I'll be joined on Monday's edition of the podcast by John Budden to look ahead to three races from Monday, all three coming from air, as well as a look back on Saturday's racing. How are you this morning, John?
Oh, pretty well, Sam.
Good stuff, yeah. Did you enjoy Sandown yesterday? Obviously, we record this on Sunday, so by yesterday I mean Saturday.
I thought the racing was very interesting at Sandown, yes. But I did think the Coral Eclipse was a bit of an odd race.
Yeah, I mean, the Fugue and Knight of Thunder, who we really expected to dominate that one, they were just well behind, weren't they? Do you think that's more of a ground issue for those horses, or do you think it was the rides they were given?
Well, I think it was a combination of both, really, Sam. I thought it was disappointing in a way. Let's, however, not take anything away from Mukadram, who was a worthy winner.
Yeah.
Really a grand winner for Paul Hannigan and Hamdan Al-Maktoum and William Haggis. Remember, this horse desperately unlucky last year and has been knocking at the door in Group 1 company, and it was a deserved win. So I have absolutely no question in emphasising that, and it was a delightful success for a combination who I think have done remarkably well this summer. So take nothing away from the winner. But having said that, you know, it was billed as a vintage Coral Eclipse, and I don't think in the end it turned out that way. He just can't think what was happening to one or two of the horses in the race. A Knight of Thunder was a big disappointment. The Fugue, of course, an expensive disappointment. In the studio, though, we were opposed, James Milman and I, to the few, because we felt that the ground might not suit. And so that is, of course, what William Buick said, and undoubtedly was right, said it was slippery on top and firm underneath, and that the horse was not travelling well. We thought in the studio that the Fugue really needed ground as hard as a bone. The better, yeah. The sounder the surface, the more likely she was going to win. I thought she was absolutely superb at Royal Ascot, and we both felt that conditions might not quite suit her. But William Buick never really put her in the race, and no doubt he felt that she wasn't travelling. So that was the Fugue. I don't think it was any real excuse for Knight of Thunder. I thought that Verrazano would go well. That was a big disappointment. Verrazano had really run well in the Queen Anne at Royal Ascot when second to Toronado. Looked as though that form would, give a good chance in the Eclipse, but did figure a bit and then dropped out over the last two furlongs or so. And Kingston Hill, well, appeared to be given rather a lot to do. Appeared to be. It's difficult to say. But obviously, second in the Derby, a mile and a half was probably the correct trip for Roger Varian's colt. And the way that he ran suggested that, because he was staying on at the end. But when you think that the pacemaker somewhat was in the frame, you do have to ask just a few questions. However, it was a great win for Mukadram.
Yeah, absolutely. And we obviously mentioned Mukadram there, as you said, a really good win. Where would you take him next if you're William Haggis? I mean, there was something in the Post this morning about the King George. Is that the next race for him?
I would go for the King George, yes. I think that he showed perfectly clearly in the Eclipse yesterday that he stayed a mile and a quarter really well. I see no reason why he shouldn't stay the extra trip in the King George, Sam. And he clearly likes Ascot.
Yeah.
And he looks in very good form.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him there, certainly. There was also, we had the Lancashire Oaks, obviously, over the weekend. And John Gosden landing a 1-2 in that with Pomology and Sultania. What did you make of that race?
Well, I was very impressed with Pomology. I thought she ran extremely well, bearing in mind that she hadn't been out all season. You know, John Gosden is an absolute master at getting his horses fit. And, of course, he'd won the Lancashire Oaks several times in the past decades, so it's obviously a race that he tends to target. Pomology ran extremely well, and I was delighted for Graham Lee, who had a really tremendous Saturday. I think he had five winners all told. My eyewitness at Carlisle on Saturday night said he was limping rather badly. I hope he's going to be all right, but it was his finest win on the flat. But, you know, he's doing tremendously well, Graham Lee. He's really cantering in the winners, and he'll certainly get to 100 on the turf before the end of the season. And I thought Pomology was extremely impressive, but there was one serious disappointment, just as there were at Sandown in the Eclipse. I mean, a seal of approval was desperate. You know, she'd run so well on return, and people thought that she was going to be a major player in the Lancashire Oaks. Well, she came out of the stalls slow. Hayley Turner was seemed at pains not to make up ground too quickly, had her in the back. She never picked up at all. And I can't help feeling that something must have been wrong with Seal of Approval, because that was a desperate run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know it was the nap selection for many of our napsters here at William Hill, and certainly didn't run as we expected. We'll move on, though, to take a look at Monday's racing. All three races John's picked out are from Ayr, the first of which is the 4 o'clock. This one, a 1 mile handicap class 6 contest. Then who do you like in this one, John?
Yeah, I always like class 6 contests. I have at least one on the podcast, Sam. Yeah, well, this is an interesting little sort of class 6 handicap. There are a couple of runners who were down to run at Ayr on the Sunday. Eileen Moore, who'd run well and won at Musselburgh the time before, and also Ebony Clarets. Whether they're going to reappear, I'm not sure. Old favourite runs in the race too, Dollar Dar. He is really getting rather long in the fang, Dollar Dar.
Yeah.
But remember, Noble Allen won at the age of 11 of the Cumberland Plate. It doesn't mean to say they weren't run pretty well. And Dollar Dar has been knocking at the door. I thought he ran pretty well at Hamilton last week, staying on nicely up the hill and finished third to Indian Giver. So, you know, he must have a chance. But the selection will be Conor Zur. Now, that's assuming it doesn't pour with rain at Ayr overnight, because Connoisseur is a completely different horse on a sound surface, Sam. Yeah, not a great player, but quite a decent handicapper at this sort of level. And Ruth Carr trains, and her horses continue to go well. And Connoisseur is not an Ayr specialist, but has run well at Ayr before now. Loves a sound surface. And it is sound at Ayr as we speak on Sunday afternoon. But whether it will rain overnight, well, only the weathermen will tell us. Hopefully it won't.
Yeah.
I thought Connoisseur ran very promisingly at this level when second to Razzlass at Carlisle last time out. Had been fifth at Ayr on unsuitable ground before that. This is his best chance of success, so Connoisseur will be the choice in the 4 o'clock.
Connoisseur then the selection for John in that one, but also don't rule out the 12-year-old Dollar Dar. That really would be something if he could take down that race. The 4:30 is the next race that we'll come to from Ayr. 1 mile, 5 furlong the trip here, a class 5 contest this one. Who are you looking at here?
Well, several horses in this race, just sort of running down, Sam. We've got Sherman McCoy at the top, I think in a way better on the all weather. That's followed by Hunting Ground, who's been a bit of a disappointment. Then Jim Goldie's got two in the race. You know, he is making a habit of doing this, running two of his horses in the same race, generally in fairly modest company, and quite often he ends up with a 1-2. He's got old favourite Grand Diamond in the contest, who I thought ran very disappointingly at Musselburgh last week. Just never really got into the contest at all, behind Eileen Moore, and the race probably not run to suit, but he's more of a Musselburgh specialist, so I put a line through Grand Diamond. Jim's other runner in the race, though, he's definitely got a chance. This is Ronald G, who ran pretty well after a lengthy absence at Musselburgh, and not at the last meeting, but at the one before, second to Lysias. Lysias was odds on that occasion, and Ronald G made him fight all the way to the line, so he's got a decent chance. Colonel Kirkup, spelt with a double K, lot of sort of reasonable things spoken about this horse, but he's disappointed regularly. And the one I'm going for is at the bottom, Sam. It's Jeannie Mack. and is trained by Linda Perrott. Now, Jeannie Mack has been trying to win a race of this nature for about two whole seasons, and she always threatens to go near to winning, and then something goes wrong. Basically, she hasn't got any acceleration in the latter part of her races. I remember PJ McDonald riding her regularly last year, and I actually heard him say, after Jeannie Mack had finished third yet again, you know, don't give up on this mare, Linda. She will win. I'll get her past the post in front. Well, he hasn't succeeded yet. Jamie Sullivan is in the saddle now. And actually, Jeannie Mack ran very well at Hamilton in the context of this afternoon's race, Monday afternoon at Ayr, at Hamilton. And for one moment, it looked as though Linda Perrott and her chief patron, Ken McGarrity, were going to have a 1-2, because Jeannie Mack and Royal Strait were fighting it out with a furlong to go, and then along came Jim Goldie to spoil the party with Alexander. That wasn't surprising, because Alexander had won a good staying race at Musselburgh before that, so deserved to win at Hamilton. But Jeannie Mack ran her best race for a long time there, and were she just to improve a little bit on that, I think she's got a squeak to win this race at Ayr.
There we go then. Jeannie Mack for John. He backs her to finally get her nose over the line, as it has been a bit of a struggle for her. The last race that we'll cover on the podcast is the 5 o'clock from Ayr, a 5 furlong sprint, this one, Class 3 contest. And what are your thoughts on this one, John?
Well, this is the best race of the afternoon at Ayr by a long chalk, Sam. It's a Class 3 5 furlong, as you say, and there's some really decent handicappers in it. The man with the magic wand, David O'Meara, has got Algar Lad at the top, and Danny Tudder rides, and this combination are very hard to beat, and it's quite likely that Algar Lad will spoil my party and win under top weight, because it was a fair fifth to Robert Boy in the good race at Newcastle, the Gosforth Park Cup, and a string of decent performances before that. So Algar Lad is certainly got to be questioned and given a very good chance here, but he is carrying top weight. Megalala comes up from the Alan Bailey yard, and this is a course winner here at Ayr a couple of times, and Alan Bailey, you know, has a very good strike rate at Ayr, but I just feel the weight may have got to Megalala, so I put a line through that, and we basically come down to two. Jim Goldie runs Rosse Chancer, and Michael Dodds runs Go On Harry. Now, the two met at Musselburgh last month, and I was desperate for Rothsay Chancer to win at Musselburgh, because I had napped the horse and I needed to break a losing run. And it was the very last race, and they fought out tooth and nail inside the last furlong. I thought Go On Harry had actually won, but no, thank goodness the photograph showed that Rothsay Chancer had scored by a nose. So that was a happy result. And Rosse Chancer, after failing in better company, came back to winning form at Carlisle last time out. 16-1 was the price for Rosse Chancer. Jim Goldie was delighted. Others were not so pleased. But it was a decent handicap. Boxing Shadows was second. Haddage, who ran well at Beverley on Saturday, was third. And on the strength of that, Rosse Chancer's got a very good form at Ayr. But, Sam, never won at Ayr, Rothsay Chancer. It's not his favourite hunting ground. He's been placed several times, but he's never actually won. He also has to give £7 now to Go On Harry, or is £7 worse off, shall we say, for the Musselburgh nose win. And Go On Harry has run well at Ayr before now, ran particularly well two outings ago, was third to Taurus Twins, and was only beaten a nose by Rosse Chancer at Musselburgh. Likes Ayr, if there's any rain, I don't want rain for Connoisseur, but there might be quite a bit of, if there was rain, Go On Harry could take advantage of it. I think it's got a big chance, so I'm going to go for Go On Harry to just beat Rosse Chancer in what's a very exciting race.
Yep, fair enough. There we go then, plenty to go out from John. If you could just spin us through one more time, please, your best three picks from the day's racing from Ayr.
Well, on the 4 o'clock we go for Connoisseur, hoping that it will be a sound surface for that one. In the 4:30, a tricky old race, and in the end, I decided that I would go, just quickly reminding myself what I was going to, for Jeannie Mac to get her nose in front for the first time. That's a bit of a dicey question. And then I do think Go On Harry's got a really good chance in the Class 3 at 5 o'clock.
Brilliant stuff. Good then. You can hear all of Monday's racing, of course, on William Hill's Racing Radio. John is back in the studio tomorrow, I think, John?
Yes, I am.
Joined by Dave Kellner and Mark Slater. They'll have all the racing from Ayr, Newton Abbott, Ripon and Windsor. There's also an Irish meeting from Ross Common. But in the meantime, I've been Sam Morris. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today, John, and I hope you enjoy Ayr on Monday.
Lovely, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.